And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keyes are here with you on this Wednesday morning. Joe Rexroad, how we doing? What's going on?
It's a little chilly, so I'm a little wrapped up today. The coldest, this is always the coldest room in the house, so today you can imagine what that means. I hope everybody left the little drip going in the pipes, little
yes.
drip going in the sinks, everybody. If not, turn on your sinks. Also, if you have a freezer that makes ice, empty that so that it will make a new batch of ice. That's another thing that can be a helpful little tip for you.
Look at Rexro with some home improvement tips, some safety tips. I like it. Way to go.
I have multiple ladders too.
That's good. I know some
Thank
people
you.
who don't.
Yeah, thanks.
Nick Keyser, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Dad hacks with Joe Rexroad, and also he's a Jedi Master apparently too. Look at you, Joe, with the hood on and the blanket.
Yeah, it's a good day for the video stream. If you want to check out Joe Rexroad, what'd you call him, Nick? Emperor Palpatine?
Yes,
good
I
stuff.
did. Yeah,
that's Robbie's favorite GIF.
It is. I'm sure I'll use it a couple of times today. We got a lot to get into on the program today. The choice is yours coming up at 6:30. Joe Rexroad in the questions chair for that. We are normally joined on Wednesdays by Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com. He is out on assignment today. So Teron Davenport will be stepping in at 8 o'clock. We'll have TD at 8 o'clock for the whole hour talking Titans. Kuharski will be with us on Friday. So looking forward to Kuharski coming with us on Friday. Bit of an audible this week, but that's what we'll do today. And we got a lot to get to on the Titans front today. We'll continue to dive into the coaching search and some interesting comments from Derrick Henry on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast with Will Compton and Taylor Lewant as well. So we'll take your thoughts on all that. Joe, we begin by asking a simple question. There's a lot of job openings out there in the NFL. There could be more to come in the next couple of days here. How attractive is the Tennessee Titans job? We've talked about all the candidates. We've talked about candidates we prefer, the offensive style coaching, all those things. If you're an NFL coach out there, of course, it's one of 32 jobs. So there's always a certain level of attractiveness that comes with that. But as you look at all these other jobs and then you look at the Tennessee Titans, how attractive of a job do we think the Tennessee Titans head coaching job is at this point?
It's a great question.
Thank you.
Yep, absolutely. You know, it's one interesting thing when you talk about attractiveness of jobs. Sorry, I think my mouth is frozen. Like the Chargers discourse is interesting because they do have Justin Herbert. Yep. But also the roster that we've talked a lot about the last couple of years is, you know, it's not as good. It's getting old. Some guys are getting banged up. So that's I think that's been a little bit oversold. And of course, Justin Herbert, you know, it's not a rookie quarterback on a rookie deal, you know, that you're going to be spending your time with him. So, I mean, like I would still put that, I would put any job with an established good quarterback higher than, you know, than like the Titans job right now. But that one, even I think that's been, and I think I've been guilty of this maybe a little bit, maybe kind of overselling it. But you know, I think the Titans, because of this is a league where you can do things quickly. Like how attractive was the Titans job when Mike Mularkey got it, you know, in 2016, 5-27, they had one really good offseason and they, you know, they were one probably Mariota broken leg away from winning the division the next year. Maybe they don't win the division. They were probably going to lose that game anyway, but still they went 9-7, you know, point being you could look at the Titans and say, well, that cap space is significant. Number 7 pick, pretty good. And then it's so much of it is just, the question is Levis, you know, how much when you, wherever you were last year, you absolutely went through all the information on Will Levis. You probably interviewed him, right? That to me is the answer. What did you actually think then? Now your perception can change because you may have thought one thing about CJ Stroud and now you're like, oh wow, he's way better than I thought he was, right? But also, there's still not an. I don't think there's enough information on Levis to right now to make a conclusive judgment on him. But that's still, to me, the bottom line. What do you think he's going to be? If you think, if you like what you think he's going to be, then I think the Titans are right up there with these jobs.
It's interesting because there's kind of three different tiers to this, especially as it relates to the roster, yes, as a whole, but specifically quarterback, right? So you brought it up. The Chargers job is open. You've got Herbert under contract. I think everybody still expects the Cowboys job to be open, even though that has not happened yet. So that part of it is interesting. You know, they've got the quarterback under contract. So, like, those two jobs, like, let's say Philly came open. You've got the quarterback under contract there, too. So there are quarterbacks that have, you know, Dak has played at a high level. Jalen Hurts has played at a high level. Justin Herbert has played at a high level, even though there's, I think, more meat on the bone there. So you could view it, if you're a head coaching candidate, and say, well, for the most part, you know what you have in those three guys. Those jobs are the most attractive because you know what quarterback is. Then there's jobs like the Titans where Will Levis has shown some things and there's some excitement about maybe what he could be, depending on how you view it moving forward here. And then there's the other part of this, Joe, where, like, if you're looking at the Atlanta job, where the roster is not bad, but they've got a fixed quarterback, and you're going to have your opportunity, I would presume, to select your own quarterback, or like Washington, where you're basically starting over and you've got an opportunity to build your own roster and select your own quarterback. I think a lot of it's in the eye of the beholder, like, which path do you think is the most attractive individually? But it's three kind of different paths there. And, I mean, you can make the argument of the established quarterback is the great way to go. You could also make the argument, Joe, that, like, a team like Washington, where you're basically completely starting over and you're going to handpick your quarterback, that could be an attractive option for some of these guys. Do we have a frozen Joe Rexroad? Be back. There we go.
Yeah, you froze for me, so there's some freezing going on. Everything's frozen today. So I'll huddle up. I'll start a fire right next to the router.
We'll see what happens. But basically, just the idea of, like, a team like Washington, where you can pick and start all over, that could be viewed as a really attractive job for a potential head coaching candidate out there.
Yeah, well, and I think if you have a team with a pick where you know you're going to get, you know, you're going to be able to get a guy, then that, to me, it's like, if you can select your quarterback, not inherit your quarterback, that's, to me, that's got to sound pretty good. There's other factors too. Some people want to live in one part of the country or other, right?
Sure.
I mean, the thing about Washington is, anything by comparison to Daniel Snyder is going to look amazing, but Josh Harris seems cool, you know? So, I mean, I think there's something to be said for that. We've talked about Arthur Blank before. I think he's one of the most liked and respected owners in the league, a good person to work for, you know? So I think that's a trap. So yeah, the Washington is definitely a sneaky, attractive job. Atlanta, the problem with Atlanta is, you know, you're 8. I mean, you know, that means you probably can get at least move up to get, like, Jaden Daniels, if that's who you like.
Yeah.
Right? But I don't know. You also, you may like another quarterback you better than that. You may like, you know, McCarthy or Penix or whatever, but you're not in the ideal situation. You're not going to get one of those top two guys.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into this. You know, does the way things went down with Vrabel at the end here, does that make the Titans less attractive?
I mean, that's a great question. Like, the ownership, you brought up Arthur Blank and the reputation that he has. I mean, ownership plays a factor here. Now, again, like, there's this idea out there, and a lot of people are talking about this with Carolina, of, like, oh, well, David Tepper is so bad that nobody's going to want to take that job. Well, somebody's going to take the job because it's one of 32 NFL head coaching jobs. Now, is it going to be the number one job on everybody's list? Probably not, because ownership does factor into that. But, like, somebody's going to want to take the Carolina Panthers job and is going to think that they can work with David Tepper, even though that he's been a disaster of an owner so far. So it's not like ownership is going to prevent you from hiring any coach out there, and you're just going to be stuck with scrap heap. But it does play a factor. Like if you're Ben Johnson, and the word is like Carolina wants Ben Johnson, and so does a lot of people apparently. But like if you're Ben Johnson and you've got your choice between Carolina and I don't know, Washington and the Titans and Atlanta and all these different things, like my guess is Carolina's probably going to be last on the list, and some of that's roster related, some of that's also ownership related. So when it's a tiebreaker between some of these jobs, ownership becomes a big deal at that point.
Exactly. It does. And of course with Carolina, because I'm with you. I think it's pretty obvious. David Tepper's putting it out there like they're gonna pay Ben Johnson like 20 mil or something if he want, you know, to get him. But if you're Ben Johnson, you also there's ownership for sure. And I agree with you. Like ultimately, you have to just it's one of 32. But then at the quarterback, also, I mean, how much do you look at Bryce Young? Look at the Panthers this year and think, oh no, he isn't it. Or do you look at it like, oh, that kid had no chance at all? I mean, I don't know. There's probably different answers to that.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We're off and running on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. How attractive do you think the Titans job should be and will be to some of these coaching candidates that they're in the middle of searching for? We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tomorrow, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate with us tomorrow morning at 8:45. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are live from our Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Throwing the question out there. How attractive do we think this Titans job is, especially when compared to some of the other openings that we know are out there and that potentially could be available here in the next couple of days? Got a texter that says, I want Brian Callahan for a lot of reasons, namely his connections for staff, his father, Bill Callahan, his passing game prowess, and his relationship with big-time free agents like T. Higgins and Jonah Williams. We have a vote for Brian Callahan on the text line, Joe Rexford.
Yeah, no, he's a very popular name. Yeah, maybe Brian Callahan makes the T. Higgins thing happen, you know, maybe. I suppose. That's a decent reason if you can get T. Higgins. But yeah, he's definitely up there, I think, as one of the good possibilities for sure.
Well, that part of it is interesting too, because we've talked about the cap space that the Titans are going to have. I would have to imagine, you know, as you're weighing pros and cons here, that would be a plus for the Titans in order to, you know, have the money to be able to go and spend in free agency and reshape the team pretty quickly here. I mean, you talked about the 2016 example. You know, they have that offseason where they draft Jack Conklin. They make some good decisions. I mean, DeMarco Murray's in there. They make some good decisions. Ben Jones with the offensive line. And it transforms their team. And they go from one of the worst teams in the league over the last 2 years, the worst team in the league the previous 2 years, to a team that's competing for a playoff spot. And look, C.J. Stroud and the Texans, they have looked really good all year long, and they're still in the playoffs, and we'll see what they do this weekend against Baltimore. I still don't look at this division, Joe, and think that this is like some unwinnable task for everybody else as they move forward. Texans did a good job of winning the division this year. Jacksonville had an epic collapse. We'll see what the Colts look like under Anthony Richardson. But the point of me saying all that is, like, if you make good decisions this offseason, this is a league where you can be right there next year, particularly if your quarterback takes the next step next season and you put weapons around him that allows him to do so.
No question. Look, Easton Freeze had a great tweet yesterday bringing back the Vegas odds last year.
Yeah.
Vegas odds on worst record.
We're going to be talking about that at 7:45.
Oh, all right. Well, here's a little. Oh, that's your, oh, yes, the rant, Rob rant. Well, I don't want to ruin it, but let me just say that every year there are teams like the Giants last year, right? Giants last year was supposed to be absolute cheeks. They come in here, win game one, and they ended up winning a playoff game. I mean, the Bucks this year were supposed to be absolute trash, and here they are, about to go to the NFC Championship game. So, yes, it absolutely happens fast. It's exactly what the league wants. Like, the Jets could make a huge jump next year, of course, with Aaron Rodgers. And if you want to specifically look at this division, the two lesser-known commodities, I think, moving forward are the Titans and Colts. Because, like you said, I mean, I just don't know what Anthony Richardson will be, and I don't know what Will Levis will be or what's going to be around him. The other two teams have more in place, and maybe the Texans are about to go on a dominant run in this division. I mean, they have a lot of things to like, but you know what? How important is Bobby Slowick to what they do? And does he leave this year?
Sure.
Does he go to the Titans this year? That's where, you know, a hire like that can look even more attractive, because you can hurt someone else.
Well, look, and this time last year, we were talking about, okay, Jacksonville has gotten hot at the end of the year. They've gone down the stretch here. They just won a playoff game with an epic collapse with the Chargers, and it feels like it's going to be their division moving forward, right?
Yep,
And
exactly.
you know, at one point this year, it looked like it was. They were 8-3, and then they just went right down the tube. And now there are a lot of questions about them moving forward. Like, hey, how good is Trevor Lawrence? What does the staff look like on the defensive side of things for them? Is Doug Peterson on the hot seat heading into next year? Like, things change quickly in this league. And you know, I don't expect the Houston Texans to like fall off the table next year. CJ Stroud looks great, but this league, weird things happen, man. That's kind of the one takeaway that I think we get through the end of the season every year, and you're like, how many things played out in the NFL this year that didn't go the way we thought? Like, it happens every year in the league. So things can change pretty quickly. And that's why, like, when you're viewing a job, like, it's hard, I think, as a head coach to look any further than 1 or 2 years down the road. Like, everybody talks about, like, your 5-year plan in the NFL. Like, that does to me, that doesn't really exist in the
That's
NFL.
college football.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, it's not
And
really a thing.
even in college football, it's a little different, of course, in terms of team building. But yeah, absolutely not. I mean, that's what people are talking about. Well, the Titans are trying to do this or that for the new stadium. Like, by the new stadium, who the heck knows what this team's gonna look like? I mean, it's just, you know, it's just, you have to, it is. It's 2 years at max. I mean, just at the quarterback position, because Trevor Lawrence is a great example of, we think he's this, and now, okay, well, I guess he's this. I mean, how many quarterbacks is that true of in the league? Jalen Hurts right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I there's some question. Daniel Jones a year ago was like, oh, here he comes. But, you know, speaking of which, you know, Josh Allen looked like maybe he was going to be screwed without Daboll, right, after 1 year. I mean, you can go through the league. I mean, Deshaun Watson, the entire league fell all over itself for Deshaun Watson, like he was the greatest quarterback of all time. And now Browns fans get to watch the bake show Sunday.
Yeah.
And then your guy, the other way around, it's like, yeah, maybe not that great. Now all of a sudden it's like, holy crap, look at this guy. You know, I mean, it's just,
Right.
it's so, and it, and so it, it's performance and who these quarterbacks are. But then, of course, it's still way too underrated by people, by way too many people, of what is around them, you know? Because I would, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, how do you think Levis is viewed from the outside looking in with some of these guys?
It's a great question. You know, I did an interview, I think it was like some Canadian station last week. I don't know why, but they're really into the NFL. And
Rex are
it
going
was,
international.
yeah, every once in a while, you know, do some Canadian radio. And one of the questions was kind of like, so, you know, like, what's basically, like, what, Tannehill, Levis, Malik Willis, you know, who is, now granted, these guys are in Canada, so, but they seem to know the Titans pretty well other than that. And I was like, yeah, I mean, Levis is gonna be the guy that they go. I mean, I think most of the league basically saw the Dolphins game. So that's the interesting thing. Like, if you saw that, you're like, oh, okay, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I guess the Steelers game too. You know, those are the two primetime games that he played in. But it's a good question. And again, like, what – clearly some teams didn't like him. He fell to the second round. But all these candidates for this job had, I guarantee you, reams of information about him wherever they were, right, and went through all of that. So I imagine there's a range of opinions on him. And I just don't think, like with Stroud, anybody who is down on him now feels dumb, right?
Yes.
But with Levis, I just don't know that there's enough information, especially given if you really look closely at the circumstances here, because they weren't good.
That's the thing. Like, I wonder, and it's hard with a lot of guys that are still going, right? So they're still playing, whether that's a Ben Johnson or a Bobby Slowick. But if you're a candidate that's out right now and you're not playing football, like, how much film are you watching on some of these head coaching openings? I would imagine a lot. Like, and you go back and Joe, I wouldn't imagine it takes a long time of turning Titans film on to be like, oh God, that offensive line's terrible. That quarterback never had a chance. Probably a pretty quick realization.
It's almost like a horror movie at times. Like, oh my gosh, what are you, Texas Chainsaw Massacre in that backfield? I mean that's got to help him. Yes. Although you also, but you also ask yourself, okay, is that going to be fixable quickly? And also, like, what's up with this GM? You know. Like, I mean, that's a big part of this. We haven't talked about that, but when you're looking at this job, the attractiveness of the job, it's Rand Carthon. It's being able to work with him, but it's also like, what do you think of Rand Carthon and his front off and his everything about the front office? Like, do you think that's going to be effective? Obviously, people have come from, you know, Rams and Niners, you know, but like everybody who comes out of those organizations, it seems like there's a lot of success, but it's not guaranteed.
Coming up next, it's time for The Choice Is Yours. Joe Rexroad in the questions chair this morning. Two questions that handle sports, two non-sports questions as well. As always, we encourage your participation on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game.
We all have choices to make. Like right now. It's The Choice Is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice. So when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit JaredCompaniesInc.com. The choice is yours. Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the week. Time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Fire and Commercial Plumbing, HVAC Division. 615-515-1270 is their phone number, or you can visit JarrettCompaniesInc.com. Joe Rex Road in the questions chair this morning. Joseph, I turn things over to you.
Sports or non-sports?
Non-sports.
Non-sports. Okay. What's your favorite outdoor winter activity?
Mine is probably sledding, although now that I think about it, there's a couple different ways I could go with it. But I will go, you know what? I'm changing my answer. Snowboarding. I've been snowboarding a few times.
Whoa.
I love it. I'm not overly good at it. I got to a point where I can, you know, keep myself upright for the most part. Now, that was also like 5 years ago. But snowboarding would be my answer. I think four different times. So I'm by no means an expert, but snowboarding is awesome. I enjoyed the heck out of it.
I'm impressed. Nick?
And if I can do all three of these things in Tennessee, which is not going to happen, it's only happened one time for me. Okay, I can either skate, I can go snowboarding, or I can go tubing / sledding. Those are my three favorite things to do outside.
So Nick likes everything that you could possibly do when it snows outside.
Yes.
Yeah. I figured that'd be an enthusiastic response for me. Yeah, for me, for Nick, sledding for sure. You wax up a metal saucer sled and you get on a big hill. Now, I haven't done it in a while. I mean, I used to do it all the time when I lived in the awful weather of Michigan. But, yeah, I've never snowboarded, skied, anything like or even ice skated, which is kind of wild, right?
That's the most wild revelation about you, I think, ever. When I first heard that, I was like, really? In Michigan?
I know, but it's like, yeah, man, I think I'm just gonna go shoot hoops in the gym. Sorry. I don't want to break my leg. Okay, sports. Oh, go ahead.
That's just say probably a good call.
Yeah. What's your favorite sport in the Winter Olympics not named hockey?
Ooh. Go ahead. Let me think about this for a second.
Oh, it's an easy one. Figure skating, man. Figure skating is like, I believe that gymnastics in the Summer Olympics, they are the best athletes in the world. Okay. People try to do what they do, you'll die. You'll die. I mean, anybody can pick up a hockey stick or a basketball or a baseball bat, and you can look like an idiot, but you'll die if you try to do what they do. And figure skating is right behind it. Brian Boitano, Debbie Thomas, Tara Lipinski, Scott Hamilton. Incredible stuff. Incredible combination of, synchronized movement and all that, but also ridiculous athleticism and drama.
I've got two that I love. The ski jumping is awesome, but I think my favorite is the lugeing. Luge, my favorite Winter Olympic sport. It's just to see them lean back and the speed that they get to going down that massive ice mound that they put together and to be able to stay on that sled, it's amazing. So I'm going luge.
I'm going to go with
It's amazing some of the.
bobsledding. Bobsledding is really fun to watch on the
Very
winter.
similar.
Yeah, it is very similar for
Yep.
sure. The luge is really cool. They had a movie that had Hugh Jackman in it. I can't think of the name of it right now. I think it's, is it Free Eddie or something like that? I can't remember what it is, or Fly Eddie. I don't know,
I
something
don't
like
know.
that. Texters, help us out. That was a great movie. I don't remember the name of it, but yes, that would be my favorite sport to
What
watch.
about Cool Runnings, the
That's a
Jamaican
good one.
bobsled team?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And then I also have enjoyed, we had our conversation with Jared Allen last week. I also really enjoy curling as well, to
Oh,
watch
yeah.
that one. That's a fun one.
Yep. Covered a lot of curling 6 years ago in Pyeongchang. Non-sports. If you had to go a year with no cold beverages or no warm food, which
Oh.
would you choose?
Man, that's tough. I think I'd go no warm food. That's a really tough one, but I think I would choose the cold beverages to be my safe haven, and I would try to find a way to get through a year with no warm food, which just sounds terrible the more that I think about it, but I think that's what I would select.
Yeah, I think I would too, because let's say you make
Yeah.
pasta. Well, you could just let it cool down, I guess, right? You could just let food cool down. Joe didn't really give us a wormhole to go through, so there's that. But yes, I would do the no warm food for me.
I'd be eating salad and ice
Yes.
cream all year.
Well, yeah, it's a clean sweep. I mean, certainly I don't mean you can't cook it. I mean, I love hot meals, but you can eat cold steak, cold chicken, cold pizza, sushi, fruits, veggies, chips, cookies. I mean, I've got to have cold water. I've got to have cold beer. I got to have cold pop to go with my hot coffee. Plus, I want to put my cold milk on my cereal. So there you go. All
Well done.
right. Thank you. All right. Last one. Who is your favorite Winter Olympics athlete of all time, not counting hockey?
Once again, I need to think about this. You go ahead.
Katarina Vitt. Yeah, I know she's not American, but Katarina Vitt, and I will take no questions at this time.
Nicely done. Nick Kieser, do you have a favorite athlete, not a hockey player?
I have no idea. Give me a second.
Mine's Shaun White, and he was
There you
first
go.
off, and you could go either way with him. He was, obviously the skateboarding, but probably, in my opinion, a little bit more known, at least for me, for the snowboarding. Shaun White, the red hair, the flowing locks. He's out there doing 540s and all this other stuff. This guy was awesome. Shaun White, my answer.
There's a great doc while Nick thinks about this. Did you see the documentary on the guy who was his rival?
No.
Okay, I'll find that. It's really worth watching. But basically, this guy, and I feel bad that I forgot his name because it's one of those things where Shaun White went on to fame and fortune, but this guy was actually better than him. But then he had this horrific accident, and he really, really did a lot of damage to himself. He was an incredible snowboarder. It's a really worthwhile documentary to watch. I will find it for you and the listeners.
By the way, Shaun White has one of the most like epic interviews of all time. I think it was when he first got started. He was on like Good Morning America or whatever it was, one of those morning talk shows. And they were asking him about like what he did to celebrate winning a gold medal. And he's like, just had a few drinks, man. And they're like, aren't you 19? He's like, I'm talking about Mountain Dew, bro. It's awesome. It was great.
Nice.
I think my
Nick,
answer.
Have you been an athlete?
Yeah, I've
Nick,
done.
Hello.
I've done some research. Sorry, and I went back and had to figure this one out for myself. Irene Schouten, she was the Netherlands speed skater, and her accolades are 3 gold medals and 1 bronze in 4 events all time for herself. So I remember watching a little bit of speed skating last Olympics, and the name sounds familiar to me at least, so I will go with Irene Schouten.
The speed skating is unbelievable, Rex. So it's like they're skating on yardsticks out there.
Yeah, no doubt. By the way, that doc is The Crash Reel, and it's Kevin Pierce is, you know, a life-changing crash, and then it's come back and everything. But it's the Crash Reel, well worth your time. But the Kevin White or Shaun White Kevin Pierce rivalry and how this huge crash kind of changed everything.
What I've learned in this segment is Nick Kieser wants no part of the Winter Olympics if it's not hockey. That's what I've learned.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which
probably.
Is weird because he loves winter so much.
That mean I like every sport involved, Joe.
Yeah, you should get more into it, man. Winter Olympics, very underrated.
Maybe if they had like Olympic sword fighting and I wore a robe like how you are this morning, I think that might be fun too.
Well, they have fencing. Well,
they have fencing.
And winter?
That's basically.
I don't know.
Well,
if
no,
it's, in
it's
winter.
Summer. It's summer. That's a summer sport, but maybe we can see if we can figure out some sort of winter equivalent to that.
What's your favorite Olympic sport in general? Just like the, and it can't be basketball. Like your favorite Olympic sport in general, winter or summer?
Well, I mean, I it's either like probably gymnastics. I mean, I just think it's like stuff that like 0.00000000001% of humans should ever even think to try the stuff that they do out there, you know. So I put, but you know, there's so many great ones. I mean, just track and field and swimming are amazing when you have great, you know, rivalries, you know, great races, right?
I'm a big water polo and or handball guy. Remember when the Summer Olympics were on a few years ago in the studio? Watched handball every morning.
Water polo, yeah, absolutely, sure. I mean, that water polo is a tough, tough sport, man. A lot of broken toes. Ross from Clarksville says, a polo, Anton Ono, short track speed skater. Oh, yeah, incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Going back to probably about Salt Lake City time frame, I'd say, right in that range. Yeah, he was fantastic.
Well, and hopefully next Winter Olympics, there's actually like NHL players that will be there. That'd be awesome.
That would be. So
be
that
a little best on best.
So that people don't have to overrate a prospect of a particular NHL team, for example, and write a bunch of columns about how amazing he's going to be in the NHL.
Well, that may or may not have happened one of the last times out. 615-737-1025. Our phone number is 615-737-1025. This has been The Choice Is Yours, brought to you by Jared Companies, Fire and Commercial Plumbing, HVAC Division. They've got you covered on everything you might need. Call 615-515-1270. Or visit JarrettCompaniesInc.com. That's JARRETT CompaniesInc.com. Coming up next, we're going to get into a little college hoops discussion just for Joe Rexrow this morning. And also, I got a bone to pick with Jared Stillman, and we'll get into that coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rexrow, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrow, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrow, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Lots of people having fun at Rex Road's expense this morning on the video streaming going on.
Yes, football and other F words, Zach. Well done on the I Know What the Titans Did Last Summer. That's very good.
That's
also,
good.
You put me on a Gorton's Fish Sticks box, too.
You can check out our video streaming on YouTube, on Twitter. Rex Road feeling a little cold this morning, so he's bundled up.
Zach's trying to horn in on Dennis's territory. Easy there, Zach.
Watch out, Zach.
We already have an unpaid graphic artist.
That's right. Joe, the Vols win last night 85-66 against the Florida Gators at home. It's a snowstorm in Knoxville. They had like almost a foot of snow on the ground, apparently. So mass chaos out there in East Tennessee. But Tennessee gets it done at home. Dalton Knecht, 39 points last night, 13 of 23 from the floor, 39 points. And as Rick Barnes pointed out in the post-game locker room celebration, also had 8 rebounds as well. So a dominant performance by him. What did you make of the Vols' win against Florida, the performance of Dalton Knecht, and where this Tennessee team is as a whole right now?
Yeah, he's on an incredible heater. That's 3 straight games with 30-plus. He was SEC co-player of the week last week, which is that's interesting. But, I mean, he saved him against Georgia over the weekend, and then last night was absolutely insane. Just unconscious. He's a pro. I mean, he gets going downhill. He finishes with both hands, can play above the rim, but also – quick release, and he's hitting 25 footers. So, right now, I think Jonas Adu and Dalton Knecht are those guys now they can look at when the shots aren't falling. I mean, they got very little. They've really had very little recently from Josiah James and from Santiago Vescovi offensively. And, Ziegler only had like 7 points last night. He's been hot lately too, but it's, this is why this team, to me, has a real chance this year, because you got a pro polished player you can get the ball to when you need to get a bucket. And, they had that really the last time they've had something like that, not the same way, but something like it was Grant Williams. When all else fails, give it to him in the high post. He'll drive, he'll shoot, he'll get to the line. But Dalton Knecht right now is playing at an absolutely SEC player of the year level.
No question. He's playing great. And, 39 last night, like you said, the Georgia game over the weekend, it looked like that was getting away from Tennessee, and he kind of held him in there and brought him back in that game as well on the road. So he's playing great right now. And look, I mean, Tennessee's number 6 in the country. They're going to be right there in the thick of things when it comes to the SEC. I'm already looking ahead to Tennessee and Kentucky. That should be a lot of fun this year, Joe. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, the SEC is really good.
It really is.
The SEC is really good this year. I think they're going to get 8 teams in, but those are the best 2 teams, I think, without question. A&M got Kentucky this week. Everybody's going to lose some road games and conference play in a Power 5 league. It's just how it goes. But Tennessee, Kentucky are elite, I think, potentially elite national championship contending teams. So can't wait for both of those.
And then we'll see down there in Alabama if, Nate Oates can keep his hands off opposing players. See what happens.
Yeah, that was not great. Not great by Nate Oates last night. And he apologized, okay? But still, I mean, after Dennis Gates after the game wanted nothing to do with his handshake. Yeah, all right, man. Yeah, see you later. So Nate Oates is a hothead. And, like, I think that, I think he should get some kind of punishment for that. I mean, it wasn't a hard shove, but it was way too much. You can't do that.
Joe, where do you think things stand now with Vanderbilt? They're 0-3 in conference play. They're 5-11 overall, and it just doesn't look good out there from Vanderbilt. You got Jerry Stackhouse talking about Ole Miss and how they acquire their players the other day after the game. What do you make of where things stand with Jerry Stackhouse in that program right now?
Yeah, that was a weird quote by Jerry Stackhouse. The best team money can buy or whatever. It's like, I mean, everybody knows that, like, there's a key player on Vanderbilt. The collective got involved in this. What you have to do. I mean, I guess I think his point was that it's harder for Vanderbilt to get in, like, juniors and stuff academically. Like, it's grads or earlier, or there's some guys they can't get in. But, yeah, I don't know the point of that at this point. I mean, it's – and this season is just, it's tough. I feel bad for, Tyron Lawrence is playing better. Ezra Manyone is a fantastic player. I really feel bad for him having to go through this season when there was so much excitement. But without Colin Smith out there, I like Jason Rivera-Torres a lot, the freshman, but they just don't have enough. So we'll see. I mean, I'm sure they'll get a couple people along the way because, again, that's what happens. But like tonight, I don't like him against Auburn at home. I don't like him against Auburn at all.
No, Auburn, by the way, number 13 in the country. They are 14-2 overall, 3-0 in the conference. If you're a Vanderbilt fan, good news, Joe. You're not in last place. Missouri is in last place at 0-4 in the SEC. A ray of sunshine here for me.
All right. Well, I want to know why you're mad at Stillman.
All right. So I've heard that he's been talking about this for like a month now, which has been interesting to me. This idea that Roman Josi like sucks and that Roman Josi is not playing any good this year. And I'm like, like, are you watching the game? Like, is this Roman Josi's best season he's ever had? Certainly not. I mean, he's won a Norris Trophy, probably could have won another one. So by that standpoint, yes, he is not playing in a Norris Trophy caliber level. But, I mean, the dude has got 37 points in 44 games. He's on pace for another 70-point season, and the analytics would suggest that he's been pretty good defensively as well. So I don't really know what we're talking about here. I do think there was a transition. Like, when you like we've talked about this too, right? Like, going to the new system, he just doesn't have the puck as much, right? Like, the old system was basically, hey, let's get this puck to Roman Josi, and then he could skate through everybody and then set things up in the offensive zone. Whereas Andrew Brunette is like, get rid of the puck as fast as you possibly can and get it to the forwards and get up ice. So, like, there's a transition that's taken place there. But, like, I actually think Josi, as the season has gone on, has adapted to it pretty well. So I don't really know what Jared's talking about when he keeps screaming about Roman Josi. He started talking about it the other night in the Vegas game too on Twitter, saying that Roman Yossi's played like straight bleep all year. And I'm like, what are you talking about, man? He's been pretty good.
So he's actually used the word sucks. Roman Josi sucks. He's used that phrase on the show.
He's used that this year, and that he's played like bleep all season long is what he said on Twitter. Then I was like, what are you talking about?
I mean, I don't know, man. For one thing, I regret. I thought you were getting after him about something in college hoops. I feel bad, college hoops fans, that I just transitioned from hoops to
you
hockey.
Did.
I'm sorry. I know.
I was
going to
keep going.
It was a trap. Yeah, that's wild. That's wild. What? Someone on the text line yesterday also said Jared was yelling at you. What is this about the same thing?
I didn't hear
that. Something else?
No, I didn't hear that. So I need to go check out what that was about. By the way, Nick Kieser sent this over. Barry Trott said this on Stillman's show yesterday, quote, about Roman Josi. What you've seen is a standard of excellence. He's still playing at that level. With the change in how we play now, there's been time to adapt. We wanted to jump in the play and play more minutes. So what you've seen is a standard of excellence. He's been pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. I mean, obviously, we've talked. There's been a couple games this year where he had a rough go of it, for sure. He's had some moments. There's been this transition. He's not getting 100 points this year. I guess if that's your, you know, if that's the baseline for you, then you're going to be disappointed. It's like, you know, it's like Forsberg is the floor for Elliot Tolvanen. So yeah, that's suck. Like, if you're gonna say sucks about him, then like the word has no more meaning, right? Like, you're taking all meaning away from blah 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 sucks. If you say everybody sucks all the time, they suck, you know, like, use it a little bit more selectively.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get back into the coaching search for the Tennessee Titans, including a candidate that Rexroad believes should be taken more seriously than some are taking at this point. We'll get into that. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game.